Welcome to the Mercy Hill Church podcast. This podcast is a collection of sermons and conversations intended to stir up your affections for Jesus. We hope this content helps you know and tell the story of Jesus better.
Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. It's great to see you this morning. Happy Easter. There we go. Okay, that was all right. Everybody doing okay today? Good. Good. Some of you guys look great. I mean, you took this seriously, dressed up. You look great. Some of you, you know, just normal Sunday for you, I guess. Yeah. But we're glad that you're here. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Mercy Hill. Whether this is you come every week or you come occasionally or this is your first time ever, we are so glad that you have chosen to join us today. If you got a Bible, you can turn to Luke 24. We're going to pick up in Luke 24 in just a few minutes. But before we get there, in 1997, I was a high school student at Houston County High School, the home of the Bears. You probably heard of us and feared us. And I was in Mr. Coley's pre-Cal trig class. This might come as a surprise to you. I was not an exceptional student in high school. I know you're shocked. You're like, but Brandon, you're so smart, you know? I was not an exceptional student, and I struggled in math, especially kind of getting up into some higher math. Some of you Marietta campus guys are like, that's not higher math. That's easy. I know that. I know that was hard for me. But what I remember in that class is thinking, when am I ever going to use this again? When am I going to have to do calculus again for the rest of my life? Anybody have that moment where you're like, am I ever going to use this in high school? Maybe it was a history class, or maybe you're reading Macbeth. You're like, why do I need to know Shakespeare, right? Like, how does this connect with my everyday life? Well, I think when it comes to Jesus' resurrection that we're celebrating together on Sunday, many of us have the same question. Like, I get that it's an event that happened in history, but what does Jesus raising from the dead have to do with my life? How does it intersect who I am today? So as we read through the passage, we're going to look for what happened, and then we're going to unpack three implications for your life and my life. Let's turn our attention to God's word. Luke 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that's the disciples, and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So here's what happens in the story. Friday, Jesus is crucified. They rush to put him in the tomb so that they could get his burial done before the Sabbath the next day. So his body wasn't fully prepared for burial. So then on Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, a group of women come to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body properly, expecting to find his body. But instead, what they find is an empty tomb and nobody. And an angel shows up, and I love this question. The angel says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is alive. He wouldn't be here. A tomb is a place for dead people. He's not dead, so this isn't a place for him." And then says these amazing words, "He's not here. He has risen." The first followers of Jesus didn't see Easter as a holiday, but as a historical fact. It was an event that happened in actual space and actual time when they saw an empty tomb and Jesus risen from the dead. The words of the angel shaped the rest of their life. He is not here. He has risen. And that contains in that passage a truth that Christians have believed for centuries and centuries and centuries. That Jesus actually died on a cross. That Jesus actually bodily raised from the dead. And that Jesus is currently alive. Not only that. Not only did these first followers see the resurrection as a historical event, a thing that happened in actual space and in actual time, but they saw it as an event that impacted their lives. Jesus' resurrection changed their lives forever. The fact that he was risen lived with them and lived in them. Luke writes a companion story to his account of Jesus' life, the book of Luke, called Acts. And in Acts, we see how these people, these first followers, continued to do what Jesus did and the impact that Jesus' resurrection made on their lives. It had real life implications for their everyday lives. A.W. Tozer says, Easter was not a holiday or even a holy day. It was not a day at all. It was an accomplished fact that lived with them all year long and became the reason for their daily conduct. He lives, they said, and we live. He was triumphant, and in him we are triumphant. He is with us and leads us, and we follow. You see that Jesus was dead, but is now alive is a radical claim. But an even more radical claim that Jesus' first followers were making was that Jesus was dead and is alive, and that meant something for their lives. It had changed them. It had affected them deeply. So how did Jesus' resurrection affect his followers? Or for that matter, how does Jesus' resurrection from the dead affect our lives here and now? How is Easter more than just a day where we get dressed up in our Sunday best, go to church, and then head to grandma's house afterwards for a big lunch with the family? Why is it good news for us that Jesus is alive today? Let's see if we can answer that question. Three implications for your life for Jesus' resurrection. Number one, Jesus' resurrection is good news for our relationship with God. Jesus' resurrection is good news for our relationship with God. How? How is Jesus' resurrection from the dead good news for our relationship with God? Well, let's start with some bad news first. The bad news is, the scripture is incredibly clear that our relationship with God has been severed or broken because of this thing called sin. Sin is disobedience to God. Sin is rebelling against God. And sin causes us to be separated relationally from God. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says that we are alienated from the life of God, that we are estranged, separated, alienated from God. And this is a huge problem. The problem is so big because you and I were created to function in a relationship with God. Think about this for a minute. Think about how damaging it is in our lives when we have dysfunctional relationships. And then think about how that dysfunction in a relationship impacts your life the more intimate or purposeful or meaningful the relationship is. Let me give you some examples. A dysfunctional relationship with your lab partner in chemistry has consequences. You might get a C on the lab, right? But that's not a huge deal. But a dysfunctional relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend may lead to not just a breakup, but what? Possible trust issues in future relationships. You see how that works? The more intimate the relationship, the steeper the consequences. Now check this out. What about a dysfunctional relationship with a parent? Oh, now we start to see some serious consequences. That could change the way we see the world, the way we trust other people. It affects the way we see ourselves, our own self-esteem, and much more. It affects maybe the way that we respond to authority, so we later in life have problems with bosses at our work. It might change the way that we see faithfulness inside a marriage relationship, so it impacts our future marriage. It might change the way that we parent our own kids. The more important a relationship is to us, the higher the stakes when dysfunction enters the relationship. So now let's think about this. Think about how damaging it would be in our lives if we were in fact separated or alienated from the God who created us to function inside a relationship with Him. Think about the depths of those effects. It would affect every relationship we've ever had. It would affect how we understand the difference between right and wrong. It would affect the way that we respond to what is true or what is false. It would affect the way that we see ourselves and our place in the world. It would affect the way that we understood and functioned in relationship with the world around us. It would literally affect everything. The Bible says, in fact, that is true. And that our dysfunctional relationship with God, our relationship separated from God, has severe consequences in every single one of our lives. But the good news of Easter is that Jesus' death and resurrection has implications for our relationship with God. It has the ability to change our relationship with God. Check out Romans chapter 4, verse 24. It's going to be on the screen. Here's what Paul writes. He's talking about righteousness. I'm going to explain that in just a second. Righteousness, it will be counted to us who believe in Him. That's Jesus, that's God, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. Verse 25, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So here's what Paul says. Righteousness is going to be counted to people who believe in the God that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was delivered up or crucified for our sins or our trespasses, and Jesus was raised, he says, for our justification. Now, what does that word justification mean? Well, all the way through Romans, Paul uses the word justification to mean that we are declared to be in a right relationship with God, or in the right with God. It means that God no longer counts your sins against you, so that you and I are able to relate to Him properly. If you could picture in your mind, it's like an estranged marriage where the offending party is forgiven by the party who had done nothing wrong and invited back in relationship. I forgive you for what you've done. Move back home. Move in to a relationship again. So when Jesus died on the cross, He took our sin for us in our place, paying the price in full so that we could be forgiven of our sins and invited back into a right relationship with God, or to be in the right with God. But what does that have to do with His resurrection? That's what's strange about the passage, as Paul says, is He was raised for our justification. How does Jesus' resurrection from the dead affect our standing before God or our relationship with God? Anybody, you guys use Amazon? Anybody use Amazon? It's a dumb question, right? All of you use Amazon, right? And you got Prime, right? And the price keeps going up and you just keep paying it, right? That two-day delivery is amazing. We're doing it. We don't even know what we pay for anymore, right? We're just so excited about it. What I love about Amazon is you order something, 2 days later it gets delivered to your door, and what do you get? You get an email. And the email doesn't just say your package was delivered, but it's got a picture of it on your doorstep, which is awesome, right? It's really good in our cul-de-sac because our mailboxes aren't like lined up correctly with the driveways. So often our mail or our packages end up at the next door neighbor's house. So we can know, oh, that's at the neighbor's house. We need to go get it. What Paul is saying here is that Jesus's resurrection is like a delivery confirmation. Like the picture that shows you that the package was delivered. That the sacrifice of Jesus has been received by God for you on your behalf. That Jesus' death in your place was accepted by God the Father. And the resurrection then is a validation that Jesus accomplished on the cross what He set out to accomplish. That He actually did die in the place of sinners like you and me so that we could be restored in a right relationship with God. Think about if the resurrection didn't happen, how would we see and understand the cross? We'd be like, just like the disciples here. Remember the angel said to them what? Remember, He already told you this was going to happen. He told you He was going to die on the cross for sinners and be raised from the dead. And they're like, what? That's what He said? I don't remember that. I don't even understand that. That's the same position that you and I would be in without the resurrection. We would look at the cross puzzled at to what it actually accomplished. But the resurrection is like the delivery confirmation that Jesus did what he set out to do, that he accomplished what he said he was going to accomplish, and that God the Father received his sacrifice for us in our place. And so Jesus' resurrection is good news for our relationship with God. It's good news for your relationship with God. You can have a restored, right relationship with God because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Number two, Jesus' resurrection is good news for our lives here and now. How? Okay, it's a buzzword right now, but it's helpful. We all have an identity that we have embraced, the way that we think about who we are. Now imagine if our lives are estranged from God, how that shapes our identity and how that identity has led for many of us to patterns of behavior and ways of thinking that are not the way that God ever intended us to live. The key relationship in our lives has been broken, and that has shaped us in significant ways. And even though for many of us, we've been declared to be in a right relationship with God, what we still have is these old patterns of behaviors and old ways of thinking from a previous identity. In Atomic Habits, James Clear talks about how we think about ourselves, how our identity shapes our behavior. We often, in goal setting and wanting to change New Year's resolutions, what do? We focus on outcomes. 2024, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm not running a marathon. I just want to be super clear about that. 2024, I'm going to run a marathon, right? That's the outcome. Some of us get to the next step, which is the process. I've downloaded the running plan, and I'm going to follow it in order to achieve the outcome. But what James Clear says is the most fundamental change that affects your behavior is when you embrace a new identity and you say, I am a runner. I have a running plan because I'm a runner. I want to run a marathon because I am a runner. The key, James Clear says, to building lasting habits is focusing on creating a new identity first. Your current behaviors are simply a reflection of your current identity. Well, guess what? That makes sense in our relationship with God too, right? We've seen ourselves as distant and alienated from God for so long, it has shaped who we are fundamentally. And we are living out, for many of us, our lives before we knew Jesus' death and resurrection. We continue to live it out right now. We've been formed. But check this out. Paul says that Jesus' resurrection actually has the power to change us at an identity level. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Paul says, when you and I placed our faith in Jesus, we're not only forgiven, we're not only justified, declared to be right with God, we are also so deeply identified with Jesus that we have a new life like Jesus got a new life. Our old self has died, and a new life was raised up just like when Jesus rose from the tomb. And that's here and now, your life here and now. So Jesus' resurrection is good news for you and your current life. You can, and I can, have a new identity as a new creation in Jesus with a brand new life. We don't have to be defined by our previous identity. So when you come to faith in Christ, you are laying some things down. What does the passage say? Buried with him in baptism, right? Old self is gone. So it works like this. You used to say, I'm a greedy person, so I chase money. You used to say, I'm a lustful person, so I chase sexual experiences. I'm an angry person, so I'm short with others. I'm a vengeful person, so I want to hurt those who hurt me. I'm a selfish person, so I do what I want to do when I want to do it. But in this new identity, we lay all those things down and we pick up some new resurrection things. We say, I'm a person loved by God, so I love. I'm a person forgiven by God, so I can now forgive others. I'm a person who experienced the very patience of God, so I could be patient with others. I've been a person who's been adopted into God's family, so I feel secure on my belonging. I'm a person who's been reconciled to God, so I feel peace in my relationship with God. You see the way that works? Paul continues in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. So that, you see that phrase? So that, for this purpose, for this reason, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What's he saying? If you want your life to be different, shed yourself of old behaviors, habits, and ways of thinking. What you need is to embrace this new resurrected identity. He keeps on. Verse 7. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That's now. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So can you and I. Verse 11, so you also must consider. This is the instruction for you today. Consider, think about, reflect on what? Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This idea that Jesus died, raised again, is an idea that when you and I are united with Christ, we also die and rise to a new life. This resurrection identity actually has the power to change your life and my life right here and right now. We are no longer who we used to be. We are new. We no longer have to sin. We've been set free. So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive, the resurrection power of Jesus, alive to God. So Jesus' resurrection is good news for our lives here and now. Number three, Jesus' resurrection is good news for our eternity. The final big problem that sin causes in our lives, every single one of our lives, is our future. The scripture teaches that sin not only affects our relationship with God in our current life in the here and now, but has dire consequences for our future in the next life. Romans 6, 23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. And he uses that word death here. What he means is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. That you would end your life eternally alienated from the God that you were created to know. But he's not done. The free gift of God, he writes, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of Jesus is that he will resurrect you after your death in the same way that he was resurrected after his death. Or in other words, when you and I come to know Jesus and unite ourselves with Jesus, it changes our eternity. Why? We talked about this concept before. Remember. Whenever you see in the New Testament this phrase, in him, or in Christ, or in Jesus Christ, it's talking about this unbelievably powerful thing that happens when we place our faith in Jesus. What's true of Jesus becomes true of me. What's true of Jesus becomes true of me. And if that's true, and Jesus rose after his death, then what's true of you? You are also likewise going to raise after your physical death. How was Jesus raised from the dead? R.C. Sproul says this, but there was also a dramatic change in the body. When he rose again, his body was not simply restored, it was glorified. For what's true of Jesus becomes true of us. Then just like when Jesus received a physical but glorified, perfected body when he was raised from the dead, guess what? So will we. Now, I have to hurt some of your feelings right now. And I just want to apologize ahead of time, all right? When you cross over into eternity, you are not going to be an angel with wings and a harp. Precious moments lied to you for years. You are not going to be a disembodied spirit. You are going to be raised in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead, with a real, physical, glorified body, a better version, upgrade 2.0 version of you. Here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, this one, to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. You hear what this is? People ask all the questions all the time. Is there going to be this in heaven? Is there going to be that in heaven? Am I going to do this? You are going to be you in heaven. It is a real physical experience. It's going to be incredible. A glorified body. Now, even more than that, the Bible teaches that just like we will be resurrected from the dead, so will this place. That God, Revelation teaches us, is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So this physical, real world will also be recreated and resurrected. So your future holds living as a resurrected, glorified person in the new heaven and the new earth, which is where heaven and earth, God's presence and people meet together in a real world with real physical stuff, all of it recreated, glorified, and made new by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So I think probably this morning there's a few different people. This lands probably differently for a few different people in the room today. First, perhaps you are currently alienated from God. Today, you know your sin has separated you from God. Today, you know there's nothing you can do about it. But you have yet to trust in Jesus to save you. And so your relationship with God is estranged or separated. There's good news for you today. Easter Sunday, 2024, there's great news for you. It does not have to be that way. Your relationship with God can change, and it can change today. What it requires of you is simply to respond to the good news of Jesus by trusting Jesus and Jesus alone to save you. And so maybe today is the day where you're confronted by your sinfulness, where you see your need for a Savior, and where you trust Christ. And Jesus declares that you are in the right with God, a restored relationship with God. Maybe that's you today. The second group of people is perhaps you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, but the truth is you're just stuck in sin. You're still living out of this old identity, these old behaviors, and these old patterns. And there is great news for you today. It does not have to be that way. You keep thinking about changing outcomes. What God wants you to do is embrace your new identity, which is already yours. Could you imagine the power in your life, the resurrection power that would happen if you just made one change? If you got up every morning and reminded yourself that you have been saved by a good and gracious God who has recreated you into a new person, who has resurrected you. Man, Paul says you want to defeat sin in your life? You want to get over it? That's where you start, by embracing this new identity and allowing the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead to change your heart. And slowly over time, that starts to change the way that we think and the way that we behave. And finally, for some of us today, we came in just overwhelmed by suffering or pain, difficulty. Maybe you're in a difficult relationship. Maybe you have a serious illness in your family you're dealing with. Maybe you've experienced loss over the past year. You're just suffering. The good news of Jesus' resurrection for you today is this is not it. Paul says that we are piling up these momentary afflictions, but those afflictions are going to give way to a weight of glory. What you are dealing with right now is not your future. Your future is a new glorified body in a resurrected world in the presence of God. That's your future. Jesus rose from the dead to ensure that was your future. And so if you're walking through a difficult time right now, you can walk through that with great hope, even though it is so hard right now. This is not all there is.
Thanks for listening to the Mercyville Church podcast. To keep up with the life of Mercyville Church, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We believe the Christian life is best experienced in community. If you're in our area, we'd love for you to join us. If not, we'd love to help you get plugged into a local church near you. Have a great week.